Good morning. When we were in Cambodia, it was 100 degrees every single day, 100% humidity. And then I come to Mark Twain and it's winter here. So what's going on? I brought a whole bunch of books to share with you. I'll just do one by one. I realized I was here exactly 3 months ago. January 28th, I ministered at this church. And right next day, we flew out to Korea for a week. And then we went to Japan for a week to celebrate our 40th anniversary. Praise the Lord. 40th. And then we went to Cambodia for 2 months, and then we came back to Korea for 10 days, and we just got back Thursday. So it's been 3 months of, wow. The key word is revelation or revelatory. As I was praying for this congregation and this church and my home church in America, and as I walked in, I felt something like, wow, church is here. Only building changed. Doesn't it prove that church is not a building? Amen? You are church. Would you tell your neighbor, or I am the church? Can you tell that to your neighbor? I am the church. Yeah. I wish, you know, I'm so cold, I wish I could hug all of you, but I can't, so I'm going to do air hug you. You are a church. Wow. Let's pray. Father, truly, Lord, we've come and we want to hear from you. We would like to have a revelation. Let this day be the day of revelatory experience of hearing from you and you communicating something new to us so that we could adjust our life, Lord, and to see your kingdom come, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, God, we welcome you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Last time I was here, I ministered out of the commentary that I wrote in Ephesians. And while I was in Cambodia, I finished writing a commentary on first part of Book of Job. So there are two kinds of people in the world. The first kind that only wrote a commentary on Ephesians. The second kind wrote a commentary on Ephesians and Job. Which kind are you? So, as I was writing a commentary on Book of Job, wow, it just blew my mind. The first time that I fell in love with this book was when I was 18. I just came to meet Christ, and Christ meant everything to me. And as I was reading Book of Job, God started just convicting my heart. You know, the story of Job starts out, there was this great man, and God and Satan start talking to each other. And God brags about, have you met my servant like him? He's an awesome dude. And Satan said, well, because you blessed him. Because you blessed him. If you take away all the blessing, then he's going to curse you. Really? Go ahead, make my day, right? There was kind of a crazy talk between Satan and God. And God allows these horrible things to happen, right? In one day, right? He loses everything that he owns. Camels, sheep, you know. I mean, he lost every possession he has, including 10 children in one day. And what does he do? He rips his clothes and says, naked I come, naked I go. I will worship the Lord of my salvation. When I was 18, I said, yeah, that's the man. I want to be like him. Because at age 18, I had nothing. So easy to disclaim something that you ain't got. You know, and I remember, you know, in my 40s, I had 3 children, and I was worshiping God. And Lord said, is the challenge still on? And I said, God, you better not. No, I got really genuinely scared that God would do that, you know. And now in my 60s, I'm writing a commentary on Job, and wow, in all this, and all that I have shared with you so far, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, King James Version. This is NIV. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. This is New Living Translation. In all this, Job did not sin by blaming God. The word sin actually means condemn. So in the context of the flowing of this text, we should be reading this. Job did not condemn himself by blaming God. See, when things happen in our lives, and we don't like it because that's not part of our plan, then we say, we tell God, God, what was that about? Why did that happen to my kids? Why did that happen to me? Right? And I said, wow, you know, I hope there will be an individual revelation today and corporate revelation for church. You know, these are hard questions we need to answer. And I'm starting with Job, and now we're going to go to the text for the day, and we'll pick it up from Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. This was a text given to me to minister to you today, and I think we're going to finish up Ephesians next week. This is word of the Lord. Can you read that with me? Children, together means read it together. Ready, go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Amen. We're talking about the primal relationship between children and parents. It's so interesting how the scripture does not talk about mothers here. It says fathers. Have you thought about that? Like, well, how come, you know, parenting is father and mother? Why didn't Paul say, well, father and mother, do not exasperate your children? Maybe because mothers do not really exasperate their children. So amazing that Apostle Paul used the father almost like a verb. You know, it's like, can you do father right? Kind of, you know, we're in Korea, and we spend some time, and we're enjoying. Oh, the dollar is so strong these days. So good, you know. It's like we're in Japan, and never felt like Japanese food was cheap in Japan. But we're like, wow, you know, and we're enjoying it. And now we're flipping through some documentary. So they asked this Korean people, what is the most precious word in your life? Asked tens of thousands of people. The number one word was 엄마, which means mother. Wow. For a very large of Korean population, the most precious word to them was mother. And then I started reading down the list. I'm like, so where's father? You know? The next word was like love, joy, peace, and going down. The father was mentioned on 82nd. We ranked 82nd, guys. What did we do wrong? Well, at that time I said, well, I'm American, so you know, it pertains to Korean fathers. But I'm thinking, I cannot sit down and write 82 words. Father ranked 82, at least in Korean society, right? And so maybe that's why Apostle Paul says, fathers, come on, shape up, right? Do not exasperate your children. But before that, it says, children, obey your parents, obey your parents. The word obey actually is similar, or it's used same as listen. So when you read Genesis, it talks about how Abraham obeyed the Lord, right? And Lord spoke, and Abraham obeyed the Lord. But the word, you could exchange to listen. But they decide to translate as obedience. But because the revelation, when God speaks, when God reveals certain thing to you, he expects you to obey. Obedience is not an option. So when we cannot say to the Lord, Lord, show me, speak to me, I'm listening, and then I'm going to decide whether I'm going to obey or not. No, there's no such option. When God speaks, you need to obey. Amen? So I pray that something revelatory will happen today. Something that happens today that you and your children's relationship will become in the state where God could take away all of your children in one day, and you could still say that I'll worship the Lord of my salvation, and you will not sin against God by thinking foolish things about God. This is pretty serious stuff. Think about it. At age 18, I was foolish to think that, yeah, he could take everything and I'll be fine because I ain't got nothing yet. And now I got everything. My first daughter's gonna turn 39 this year, right? When I said that, you should say, no, you don't look like that. My first daughter's turning 39 this year. The look of unbelief, like, did you marry when you're 12? I mean, how is that possible? Yes, my first daughter is turning 39 and 36 and 34, and it's like, really lose them in one day? Do I have enough faith to say that God gives and God takes away? Or does it really take different kind of understanding? I don't think it has nothing to do with faith at this point. It's your understanding of what you have. The moment you think that what you have is your possession, then you're going to make that fundamental error of challenging God. God, why'd you do that? That was mine. But when you know that your children or your possession is just a loaner, it doesn't belong to you, then God could give and God could take away. And you could still encounter God, good God, who in first place gave that to you, for you to enjoy, to love, and to treasure. And there are some of you, including me, some of our children just don't want to do anything to with God. They don't even come to church. They don't even attend. And the enemy has infiltrated to your mind and said, that's your fault. Because you are a lousy father. Because you're a lousy mother. You did not raise them up properly. That's why they are at that state. And you bought into that lie. If that's you, oh God, I pray that there will be a revelation today. That's not your problem. You just have to come to terms, and if you really have not been a good parent, you just need to repent. Right? And give it to God and say, God, I'm so sorry. I wasn't the best mother, best father that I could have been, should have been, would have been. But Lord, I repent. And then get out of that place, walk away, not being responsible for the things that's happening in your children's life right now. Can you do that? Then you'll be much freer. Then you would actually learn to obey God more faithfully. See, what happens is that we start blaming God, like foolishly. Just like the Bible said, Job did not do that. I mean, Job lost everything he's got in one day. And then he says, I will worship the Lord of my salvation. And he did not foolishly blame God for the things that has happened in his life as if he owned these children, as if this possession, all the camels and all the sheep and all the cows were his. He said, Lord, you give. I took care of it. I managed it. And then you took it away. Well, you're still, you and me, same God. same relationship. Only thing missing is possession, including my children. See, in ancient times, in Romans' time, 2,000 years ago, it was a legal right for parents. The parents could actually kill the children and there's no consequence. You could sell your child as a slave, there's no consequence because children were considered to be possession. In that context, you know, but we think that, this is my time, my possession, you know, my money, my bank account, my children, and although we don't really admit it, but somehow this prosperity gospel kind of penetrates into our psyche. And we say that, well, if I really love Jesus, then if Jesus loves me, everything I do should prosper, you know. I need to have a better car and better house and everything I do succeed and all that. It's just nonsense, right? God is God, and God is going to grant you the life that you need to live out. And then you said, God, how come I don't live like that person who always showing their Facebook the fantastic vacation, and they always seems to be traveling, and you know, it's like, Jenny had to warn me. I said, honey, your Facebook, if someone look at your Facebook, they may think you're not working. My Facebook is always, ooh, you know, here I am, Sapporo, you know, and we work hard. We work hard, you know. Just 10 days in Korea, I spoke 8 times. You know, I mean, just during that time in Cambodia, Lord started revealing this incredible revelation. For 4 years, me and this brother named Missionary Yang, we've been collecting Cambodian proverbs, 300 Cambodian proverbs from the internet. And then I told him, listen, we need to work on this project because I met too many Cambodian people. This is what I wrote in February and March, 1,400 pages. We work hard. We don't just play around in Cambodia. But when I went there, February this year, it kind of dawned on me, hey, we've been having these proverbs for 4 years in our file. And what happened is that 2009, I went around Cambodia and surveying, interviewing a lot of Cambodian pastors because I was working on my PhD. And one of the city, beautiful city called Kokong, and this young pastor has been in ministry for 13 years, and he says, sir, in my town right now, the Buddhist monk actually carry our Bible, Christian Bible. And then talk to all the church members, that he has a lot of young church members, young kids, and the monk would visit their house. This is a crazy story. Visit their house and open the Bible and said, listen, their religious leader named Jesus spoke and said, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate your mom and your dad. Unless you hate your mom and dad, you cannot be my disciple. It's in the Bible. Read it later. If you know, like, wow, Jesus said that? You know, yeah, he did. So monks are now using that to bring the people back from church to temple. And he said, I'm losing so many kids. Because the parents said, no, you're not. You're not going to go to that Christian church and you're going to hate me eventually. And I said, do you think that's what Jesus really meant? I don't know. That's what the Bible said, right? I said, well, isn't there in Cambodian Proverbs, if you want to learn, you must kill your master? Does it really mean to kill your master? Oh, no, it's the exaggeration. That's the Hebraic exaggeration, what Jesus meant. As if compared to loving me, it's like hating your parents. Why couldn't you use that? I said, no one taught us that. So I said, okay, well, then we will research for you. So from that point on, we gathered 300 Cambodian proverbs, and then we sort out by 200 Cambodian proverbs, and then each proverbs, Cambodian proverbs, we matched with the Bible verse. And so in Cambodia, you know, I wake up early and I do my thing and I go swimming, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., 1 hour. It's 2.4 kilo, about 1.5 mile swim, 100 lap, 23 meter. So what happens that when you do that, heaven opens and God starts speaking to you, right? Because you're in la-la-la, like, ooh, am I a fish? Am I a water? You know, and God starts speaking and talking about the Cambodian Proverbs, right? How you need to turn that into, and then God giving me all this insight about what to do and make it into sermon and make it into children's story, and just like, it was incredible. And so I would come to my room, and all the download, all the revelation that I received while I was swimming, then I execute in. And it's so awesome that from February, I start using ChatGPT called Charlie. I call Charlie. So I say, Charlie, this is our study. And then I'll input our Cambodian Proverbs and Bible scripture that, and then can you turn that into a teaching memo? And then can you turn, and it was just wonderful. Because in one of the few other Cambodian Proverbs, it actually says, children, obey your parents. See, Cambodians, whether it's Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese, Korean, doesn't matter. Every nation has proverbs, and they're just telling the truth, right? There's no Cambodian proverbs, children, cheat, right? Or lie. There's no culture that teach that. So we make a fundamental error thinking that, well, we Christian go to this nation and we're going to change everything and we're going to hate your culture, we're going to hate your proverbs. No, we honor their proverbs. We honor their culture and said, you know, all the good stuff that come out of your culture. And so now these four books are now being translated into Cambodian language, and we will be publishing these books. And we're with 9 churches that we work with. We're training young people. They're going to bring their Cambodian Proverbs books, and then go to villages. We're going to start Cambodian Proverb Club. And we're going to ask old folks, because the old elders are the key. If you unlock him, everybody can come to your church. So we're going to go to the key elder of the village and say, sir, can you teach me this Cambodian Proverbs? And go, wow, okay, I'll teach you. And then, it says that, right? It says in Cambodian Proverb 171, don't argue with a woman. Wow. I could have told you that. Don't argue with your wife. She's always right. You know, and say, what does that mean? And then it's written in Khmer. So they say, this means, there's a Luke 14, 31, 32. It says the same thing. And then it says, these are the points, and these are children's story in color. And then there's a sermon that one could do for the children in the village. So we could do 4 years of teaching out of Cambodian Proverbs. Amen? And it came because of revelation. Not because Bob is so smart, he figured it out. It could stand on its own. So awesome. But when I was foolish, I used to think, God, you're so unfair. You see, before I met Christ, I believe in God. You know, when people say that there's no God, like, that's kind of a very recent thing. You know what I mean? The atheism and atheism becoming fashionable was very, very recent thing. You know, as far as I can remember, as a child, I always believed there was God. There's no doubt there is God. I just didn't think that God was fair, right? So I'm going to sing a song to you, and don't get blessed too much, but this is a song that I wrote when I was young. Can I have Chris come up? He's going to play cajon with me. I just told him this morning, so he's not prepared. He doesn't even know what song I'm going to play. But I saw him play cajon, I said, he could do it. Yeah, I'm born 1961 when Bob Dylan ruled. So this is a song I wrote when I was 14. 1975, I came to America at age 12, and I spent 2 years. Get ready, Chris. And Life was pretty hard as an immigrant boy, 73, at Culver City Junior High. There was only 6 Asians in the entire school, right? Probably now there's maybe 6 Caucasian in the entire school in Culver City, but anyways, in my time, 73, 52 years ago, it was very difficult. And I was working out, like, God, how come we have to struggle so much financially? My dad, was a medical doctor and comes and he has to really became a manual laborer. And my mom never worked in her entire life. Actually, week after she came to America, she had to go to a sewing factory and working 10 hours a day and brought home, piecework at home. And wow, we really, really struggled. So I said to God, God, I know you're there, but you're a pretty unfair God. You're pretty unfair. So, yeah, don't be too blessed. I think I mentioned this before, but I'm tone deaf. Tone deaf means that you don't really sing other people's song well. that's my definition. And so, if you're tone deaf, only thing you have to do is write your own songs, right? So no one will tell you, that's not how you sing it, right? It's like, hello, I wrote it. I could sing anywhere I want, right? So this is tone deaf song. Sitting in this chair, searching for an answer in the air. Oh my Lord, no one's really came. Sitting in this chair, searching for an answer in the air. Oh my Lord, no one's really came. Hey mama, come world surrounding, birds are flying, yeah. How come people live and die every day? How come people live when they know that they'll be gone, yeah? Just like grandpa yesterday. Is it fair for men to die and just burn through the air? Oh no, living it, kids, family, loving wife. Is it fair for men to die and just turn to the earth? Oh no, is it fair? Is it fair? Nothing's fair. Just burn through the air, oh no. Living it, kids and family, loving wife. Is it fair for men to die and just turn to the earth, oh no? Is it fair? Is it fair? Nothing's fair. I knew Chris could do it. You know, at 14, the way I looked at God was, God, you have to provide for me good life. I'm working so hard, God. I want you to provide good life. And everything good has to come in my life. At age 63, I've been walking with my Lord for almost 45 plus years. I realize life just happens. Some good, some bad, some horrible. But you just keep on going. I said, God, we still trust you. You're a good God. I don't know why these things happen, Lord. I'm not going to sin against myself by blaming you. And so when God says through Apostle Paul, children, obey your parents, he really means what he says. He says that you need to come to terms with this thing. Where's my... Oh, it's here. Sorry. I'm looking at the wrong thing. It says obey. Obey is written in present imperative active. Present imperative active means not tomorrow, not when you feel like it, not when you decide to obey. No, do it now. Right? That's the command. Command that God says to children. And when you actually looking into their relationship, thing that you need to look at is not your relationship with your children, but your relationship with Heavenly Father. So you must hear from God. God says, obey, children, me, and everything that I reveal to you. You know, there are things that God is going to reveal to you, and especially today. I'm going to pray at the conclusion of our meeting. I'm going to pray. I may even invite Jenny up. Jenny's sitting in the middle with all these people blocking her because she said, I'm tired. I don't want you to call me up tonight. So, but I don't know what Lord will say. So, but I want this day to be kind of a revelatory. I want you to walk away feeling like, you know, there are things that I think God wants to do with my life. With or without context of the present life situation circumstance. Don't ever say that because I'm in this circumstance situation and condition or and call out all the negative things, that reason why you cannot do the things. But simply ask, Lord, what shall I do with my life? And God may give you a vision, word, or feeling, right? He said, why do I feel this way? Or why do I see that? Right? Lord, what's the point? Right. See, when Jenny was called by God and Cambodia became her inheritance, year 2000, she comes home and said, honey, Cambodia has become my inheritance. I said, we're married, so if God gave you Cambodia as your inheritance, don't I play a role? So 2001, I go to Cambodia, and Lord calls us to Cambodia, and it's been 23 years now. We've been serving Cambodia, and God gave this incredible revelation. First ministry we started was in leper's colony. And we walked into this place, and it was a horrible place. It's like, God, why here? Right? 2,800 lepers live in this village, Pumtrang. And 300 years, the Catholic people has been running the leper's colony clinic, and this crazy missionary started a church right next to temple, which is illegal in Cambodia. Right next to Buddhist temple, he started a church. And there were about 70, 80 adult congregation and gazillion kids. And I remember preaching there on Genesis 12. You'll be a great nation, great name, and all that. And chicken runs in through in the front of the, it's like because it's open space. Basically, it has a roof, and everything's open. Chicken runs. I say, why did chicken cross the sanctuary? That was a theological question. Why? Because it was chased by a dog. And dog chased it, and after dog, all the children were chasing the dogs, and it was just a mess. But after that, you know, we quickly end the service and they bring out a couple bottles of alcohol because, you know, these beautiful children are born in leper's colony, healthy children. But long exposure to their parents' leprosy and open wounds and touch their parents with saliva or blood or whatever, then they become lepers themselves. It's been like that for 300 years. Can you imagine? And so what missionaries do is they call all the children, all the open wounds, because they run around naked, you know, with no shoes. And so we have to clean up, make sure that we kill the alcohol. There's some medication. So we just pour alcohol on the open wound. They go crazy. So they don't want to come. So we have to woo them by giving candy each. If you have a wound, if you could, you know, we'll give you, with all that pain, we'll give you candy. And I remember this, kids are crying, and there was a little boy. I don't know how old it is, but this small. And he had a candy in his hand, and he had open wound in his knees, and they poured the alcohol, and he was fine. It was like, I said, well, you're the man. And then it just dawned on me, there's no way. You know what leprosy is? Leprosy actually kills your nerves, so they don't feel pain. So this little boy was already full-on leper. You know, when I realized that, I was looking at this boy. The Holy Spirit indwelling in me start wailing. I couldn't contain. And I did not want to wail before this little boy because I'll make him so sad. So I ran out and I remember hugging the biggest palm tree. I said, God, stop this nonsense. I mean, this is one of the poorest countries in the world, and what future does this little boy have, being a leopard already at that young age? And Lord said, I want you to eradicate leprosy in this village. I said, why don't you say that to a big church pastor with a lot of money? Lord, I have a dinky church with about 100 people. These 100 people are mostly college kids. And Lord would not withhold that command. What did I say? The revelation means to, God speaks, and speaking means to listen. Listen means to obey. And I had no option. I remember 2002, we launched, and then Lord started providing. We raised quickly $300,000, and we start the school, and we call the school Bright Future School, and we house 130 kids of elementary, and then quickly other missionaries start supporting it. We start junior high, we start high school, we start college, we start medical clinic, and we bought 20-acre lot land. And I mean, it just happened. Boom, 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 boom. We had 10-year plan to finish that. Everything was done in 3 years. And the Korean missionary came and said, sir, there's only 8 active lepers in this village left. Lord said, eradicate leprosy. And it was pretty much done. And something happened 2004 to 2005, and we have to say goodbye. And I always wondered, whatever happened to that leper's colony kids that we took out? Jenny and I were ministering at this church in Phnom Penh. Phnom Penh is the capital, about 2.5 hours away from the place that we launched that school. And we led worship. It was Abundant Life Church, and we preached, and Jenny led prayer, and it was really, really awesome. And some lady comes up with her husband and says, I went to Bright Future School. I lived at Pumtrang Leprous Colony, and me and my husband now serve this church, and we now live in Phnom Penh, 2 beautiful girls. I said, thank you so much, Lord, for bringing them back after all these years, almost 20 years, and show them that there are many, many. And then and start visiting other churches. I counted in one church like 5-6 kids who were byproduct of the Bright Future School. They all came out of the leper's colony. They all live in Phnom Penh. And one lady has a great job at NGO and working with the trafficking girls. And I'm like, God, you are so awesome. When revelation happens, do not hold back. Do not say that I don't have money. That's not me. That's not my goal. When revelation happens, when God speaks to you, you need to obey. That's why God says through Paul, children, obey your parents. So Christians, obey our Lord Jesus Christ as Holy Spirit God speaks to you today. Amen? And let's just open our hearts and say, God, I don't want to condemn myself by blaming you for the things that happen in our lives. You know, when you start blaming mode and competing mode and comparing mode, and then you feel miserable. There's no freedom. Why is this happening to my children? Why is it happening to me? How come it happened to my dad? And it's like, that's just life. Life happens. Let's go beyond and above that and say, God, I know you are. I know you are good God. And I know why these things are happening, Lord, but I move on worshiping you, thanking you. Naked I come, naked I go. I'll worship the Lord of my salvation and not sin against God. Amen? Let's pray. Worship team, come and just play some music for us. And I really think Jenny should come up. And because I really want it to be a prayer where you actually get to see a vision, hear from the Lord. And the word that the intercessor heard was blessing. Wow. The Bible says that you not only bless, but you become the source of blessing. I pray that your life will be transformed so much that people, your friends, your relatives, your children, and will eventually say that, man, I was so blessed to know you. All my life I've known you, and you've been always a source of blessing. You always added value to my life. You always intercede and pray for me, knowing that I committed this sin or doing wrong. I even hurt you, and I accused you, and I betrayed you. But you, over and over again, came back and became a source of blessing. God, let it be revelatory today. Holy Spirit, God, come. Lord, the location changed, but Catalyst Church is still here, Lord. And we are the church. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, God. So, Father, I pray that as a church in representing you, Jesus, that we now get out of this place, start touching the lives of the people that you've endowed in our lives. A loaner, Lord. You loan this relationship to us. You've given that relationship. You've given this body as a loaner, Lord God. Let us take good care of it, Lord God. And the time and the wealth and the talents and all the education. And gosh, we're such a well-educated and such well-qualified workers of the kingdom here right now. Holy Spirit, God, come.
Apostle Paul said in the 2 Corinthians that we are the aroma of Christ. And I believe that, you know, a rose is not trying to emit aroma. It just does because it's a rose. And I think it is like that with us, that we are not trying to be this obedient disciple on our own strength. We just, as we live in Christ, the aroma of Christ just spreads to people around us. So Father, we come before you, Lord. And today, Lord, we learned about obedience. And so Father, we pray for, we submit to you that our lives, Lord, as you have given us a purpose for good works, a purpose for good news. Father, we pray for transformation. If we have not been living a life as Christ, aroma of Christ, Father, we come before you. We come home to you. And we ask, Lord, in repentance, that we want to return to you, come out of the world and into your home, your heart. And Father, that we can be transformed, that we cannot do with our own strength. But Lord, as we are, Lord, that we can spread the aroma of Christ to those around us, to this world. So Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Lord, we impart. Oh, Holy Spirit. We impart, Father, the open vision that they may see. God, I pray, impart, open their ears and their heart, they may hear from you. Oh, Spirit of God, come. So throughout the week, be careful, watchful. You may hear same kind of message from several people at different time, and that's from the Lord. When you read Bible, there will be certain verse that highlighted by God, and there will be like unction, like, oh my gosh, and there will be key words that just pop in your life through loved ones, and it's random stuff sometimes. And you have an open view. You may see things like, why is that? Why do I see that? Or you may actually get a name of person and then be sensitive. Just be aware. It's not just, oh, I'm thinking that because I'm, no, do not try to explain. And maybe some concept that comes, or some ideas, or some ministry may just pop and say, you know, I think, I've been thinking about it, and or some mission field, or a country may come, a name of a country. So whatever it is, there will be a revelatory. I just ask for that revelation to manifest. Jenny and I, we just agree in agreement with this body of Christ, our home body in America. I just pray, Lord God, would you individually speak to them and corporately speak to us that we may play our part, Lord, in your kingdom work.
Yes, Father.
Oh, God.
Yes, Lord.
There's so much wealth of just not only finance, but wealth of wisdom and wealth of talents and wealth of education, wealth of expertise and wealth of stuff.
Yes.
That, wow, we will be considered top 0.1% in the Christian world. We will be top 0.1% in the body, Lord God. And we will not shortchange our lives, Lord, by listening to the enemy, Lord. We will not complain and compare and sin, condemn ourselves by blaming God for things that has happened in our lives, Lord God. Oh, speak to us, oh God.
I think that also if there's any friction or division, a strife between fathers and mothers and children in this place,
yes.
If there's things that has over the years that has built up that really needs God's intervention,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
We pray, Lord. We come before you, Lord,
yes,
as
Lord.
In our family, if there's any kind of relational problems between parents and children, Father, we pray that the wall of separation will break in the name of Jesus.
Yes. Is there any estranged relationship? When was the last time you talked to your children or talked to your parents? and express that you love them. And if there's this kind of brokenness or wall built, Father, we pray against that now. Break those walls, Lord. There will be impartation anointing that breaks that wall now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that give them confidence, give them courage, give them humility to approach their children, approach their mom and dad to say that I've done wrong. I want this relationship to be reestablished. God, let it be done, Lord God, not by our own power, but Holy Spirit, God, what the enemy has been binding, God, I break the arms of the enemy, Lord. Pierce the heart and decapitate the enemy's influence, Lord God. It will be set free, Lord. Bring shalom that surpasses all understanding, Lord. Instead of darkness, light. Instead of depression and darkness, joy, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Father, come and permeate, Lord. And we cannot explain, but Father, right the wrong relationship now, Father. There'll be testimony after testimony after testimony, Lord, how God, you moved this week, and then things were made right. So Father, we claim that, we proclaim that, we make that announcement, Lord God. Let it be so. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give God a big hand, shall we?
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.